नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, Text 54. Now, Text 54 is prose. It's not poetry. And it's very long verse, so a whole paragraph. They've written some initial words on the board, but this is not the whole thing, and it's not suitable for chanting responsively. So we've chanted Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya together. That's our recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam for today. So listen, I'll read the shloka in prose, and then we'll discuss something about this verse. Sumanaha sama dharmanam strinam charana ashrame pushpa madhu gandhavat kruddhatamang kamya karma vipakajang kama sukalavang jaivo pasyari vichinvantang mituni bhuya tarabiniveshita manasang sharangi ganasama gita varati mohan ati manohara vanitari janala pesh shvatitaram Ati pralobita karnam agre vrikayutavad atmana ayur harato ho ratran tan kala lava visheshan aviganaya graheshu viharantang prishtata eva parokshamanu pravitto lubdakak kritantontak sharena yamiha paravidhyati tamimam atmanam aho rajan bhinna hridayang drashtam arhasiti. Translation. My dear king, woman who was very attractive in the beginning, but in the end very disturbing, is exactly like the flower, which is attractive in the beginning and detestable at the end. With woman, the living entity is entangled with lusty desires. And he enjoys sex just as one enjoys the aroma of a flower. He thus enjoys a life of sense gratification from his tongue to his genitals, and in this way the living entity considers himself very happy in family life. United with his wife, he always remains absorbed in such thoughts. He feels great pleasure in hearing the talks of his wife and children, which are like the sweet humming of bumblebees that collect honey from flower to flower. He forgets that before him is time, which is taking away his lifespan with the passing of day and night. He does not see the gradual diminishing of his life, nor does he care about the superintendent of death, who is trying to kill him from behind. Just try to understand this. You are in a precarious position and are threatened from all sides. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Materialistic life means forgetting one's constitutional position as the eternal servant of Krishna. And this forgetfulness is especially enhanced in the grahastha ashram. In the grahastha ashram, a young man accepts a young wife who is very beautiful in the beginning, but in due course of time, after giving birth to many children and becoming older and older, she demands many things from the husband to maintain the entire family. At such a time, the wife becomes detestable to the very man who accepted her in her younger days. One becomes attached to the Grihastha ashram for two reasons only. The wife cooks palatable dishes for the satisfaction of her husband's tongue, and she gives him sexual pleasure at night. A person attached to the Grihastha ashram is always thinking of these two things, palatable food and sex enjoyment. The talks of the wife, which are enjoyed as a family recreation, and the talks of the children both attract the living entity. He thus forgets that he has to die someday and has to prepare for the next life if he wants to be put into a congenial body. The deer in the flower garden is an allegory used by the great sage Narada to point out to the king that the king himself is similarly entrapped by such surroundings. Actually, everyone is surrounded by such a family life which misleads one. The living entity thus forgets that he has to return home back to Godhead. He simply becomes entangled in family life. Prahlad Maharaj has therefore hinted, Hitvatmapa tangriham andakupam vanangato yad dharyam ashrayeta. Family life is considered a blind well, andhakupam, into which a person falls and dies without help. Prahlad Maharaj recommends that while one's senses are there and one is strong enough, he should abandon the Grihastha ashram and take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, going to the forest of Vrindavan. According to Vedic civilization, one has to give up family life at a certain age, the age of 50, take vanaprastha, and eventually remain alone as a sannyasi. That is the prescribed method of Vedic civilization known as varnashrama dharma. When one takes sannyas after enjoying family life, he pleases the Supreme Lord Vishnu. One has to understand one's position in family or worldly life. That is called intelligence. One should not remain always trapped in family life to satisfy his tongue and genitals in association with a wife. In such a way, one simply spoils his life. According to Vedic civilization, it is imperative to give up the family at a certain age, by force if necessary. Unfortunately, so-called followers of Vedic life do not give up their family even at the end of life, unless they are forced by death. There should be a thorough overhauling of the social system, and society should revert to the Vedic principles, that is, the four varnas and the four ashramas. Om Jnana Tibirandhasya Jnanan Janashalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karahmayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gaudavani Pacharne Nevisheshishuni Vali Paschati Deshitarne. So we're very fortunate today to have the opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in the Association of Pure Devotees. In order to, perhaps some of you are not familiar with the previous verse, which is very much referred to in the current verse, so we'll just review yesterday's verse. The translation of yesterday's verse. This is the discussion between Narada Muni and King Prachina Barhishat. King Prachina Barhishat was very much attached to, he was a very pious king, but he's very much attached to Vedic ritualistic performances. And He was getting, his sons were already grown, and he was getting old, but he was, there was some hesitation on his part to leave his family. So Narada Muni came to him to bless him. And many chapters of this fourth canto have been describing the wonderful, wonderful preaching of Narada Muni to King Prachini Barihat. So many allegories, so many stories. And now it's come to a point where he's noticing that in spite of so much good instruction, King Prachini Barihat is still hesitating. So Narada Muni he's going to make one more try with a very, very graphic example of the situation that King Prachini Barihat is actually in. So he tells just a very short story. My dear king, Narada Muni says, please search out that deer who is engaged in eating grass in a very nice flower garden along with his wife. That deer is very much attached to his business, and he is enjoying the sweet singing of the bumblebees in his garden. Just try to understand his position. He is unaware that before him is a tiger, which is accustomed to living at the cost of another's flesh. Behind the deer is a hunter who is threatening to pierce him with sharp arrows. Thus the deer's death is imminent. So Narada Muni is drawing this very graphic example that this Bhagavad Gita uses some elements of the same allegory in describing that the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies are, it uses the flowery, it says flowery words of the Vedas. So, for performing pious activities according to Vedic rituals for sense gratification and elevation to the heavenly planets is compared here to a beautiful flower garden. It's so very attractive. The Vedic mantras are very attractive. The benefits that one gets from performing them are so much pleasing to the senses. So this is very very nice analogy. A beautiful flower garden, and he's very much happy there. He's eating the grass, which means he's enjoying his sense gratification. And it's not a sinful life. It's a very pious life. All his sense gratification he's earning by his performing very carefully the ritualistic ceremonies. Ritualistic ceremonies include the name of the Lord, include worship of the Lord. So he's offering the results of his work to the Lord, and the Lord is reciprocating with him by offering him so much nice sense gratification. And the deer in the beautiful flower garden eating the nice grass there is the analogous position. So, and the bumblebees are humming, the birds are chirping, very nice sounds are there. This is the talks of the wife, the sweet words of the wife, and the talks of the children, very pleasing to the ear. But And a deer may be very nicely enjoying, but he doesn't know that one brukwa is there hiding, waiting to come and eat him. The word brukwa is used in the verse, and the Prabhupada translates it as tiger. Actually, according to Monier Williams, it doesn't mention tiger at all as a meaning for brukwa. Brukwa refers to an animal that eats, that is tearing. It refers to the tearing of the flesh by a wolf or a jackal or something like that. So brukwa generally means wolf or jackal, but the point is the same. It's an animal that will that jumps upon its prey and tears its flesh and eats the flesh. So this, and even though the deer is very nicely enjoying the grass, this this time element is there. His life is gradually coming to an end, and he has no idea. He's just very happily enjoying. At any moment, the wolf or the tiger may come, and he's finished. And at the same time, from behind the superintendent of death, Jamaraj, he's fixing his arrow on the bow to shoot him, just like the hunter fixing the arrow on the bow behind the deer. So there's so many indications that we have about the passing, about the fact that our life is temporary. So many indications. We see that our grandfather has died, perhaps our father has died. We see so many people around us are dying. We see people becoming old and diseased. Ourselves, we see our own life changing. Previously we were a small child or a young man. Now we become old. So our senses are no longer working like they used to work. No longer there's some, when there used to be pleasure, now there's more and more pain is coming just in maintaining the body. So many signs are there, so many warnings, so many indications. But we're just happily eating the grass in the garden, just happily enjoying, not understanding that death will shoot its arrow at any moment and will be finished. So this is the analogy here. And then Narada Muni goes on to explain. He gives the, now in this verse he's giving the explanation of the analogy. In the previous verse he talks about the deer. So here he talks about what it signifies. My dear king, woman who is very attractive in the beginning but in the end very disturbing is exactly like the flower, which is attractive in the beginning and detestable at the end. With woman, the living entity is entangled with lusty desires. He enjoys sex just as one enjoys the aroma of a flower. He thus enjoys a life of sense gratification from his tongue to his genitals, and in this way the living entity considers himself very happy in family life. United with his wife, he always remains absorbed in such thoughts. He feels great pleasure in hearing the talks of his wife and children, which are like the sweet humming of the bumblebees that collect honey from flower to flower. He forgets that before him is time, which is taking away his lifespan with the passing of day and night. He does not see the gradual diminishing of his life, nor does he care about the superintendent of death who is trying to kill him from behind. Just try to understand this. You are in a precarious position and are threatened from all sides. So in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada gives the quotes the verse from the seventh canto, which Prahlad Maharaj spoke to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, big demon, and he thought his son should be also a big demon. So he sent him to school to learn how to be a big demon. So one day, Hiranyakashipu calls Prahlad and has him sit on his lap and says, "So what did you learn in school?" And Prahlad Maharaj says, "I've learned that family life is a dark well, is a deep dark well. And when you fall into family life, there's no one there to rescue you. It's like you're falling in the bottom of a well and there's no hope." He said, "Hitvatma patam griham andakupam." So this, everyone should be aware that this griha, this householder life, is andakupam. Andakupam. It's a very deep, dark well. And so Prahlad Maharaj instructs his father, "Vanangato yad dharim ashrayeta." Go to the forest. Vanangato. And worship Lord Hari. Take shelter of Lord Hari in the forest. So this is, Prahlad, of course, Hiranyakashipu was very shocked. But this is the same point. Prahlad Maharaj also mercifully wanting to deliver his father. Prabhupada says, "Prahlad Maharaj recommends that while one's senses are there and one is strong enough, he should abandon the grahastha ashram and take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, going to the forest of Vrindavan." So we should, Srila Prabhupada, when it says vanam gato, vanam gata, Srila Prabhupada translates it to mean go to the forest of Vrindavan. Meaning, go and live in the holy dham or live in the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord is just as good as the holy dham. It's just as good as Vrindavan. So we should, while we still can, before we become, while we still have some sense, some strength in our senses, while we still have some thought, some ability to think about the goal of life, we may come to the temple, we may hear some pravachan, and we may have some momentary realization that yes, this material life is useless. I should give it up. So the Bhagavatam is instructing, do it before it's too late. Do it before it's too late. Give up this desire to enjoy. Give up this conception that my family, my wife, my children, they're meant for my sense gratification. Give it up. Take shelter. Come to the temple. Associate with devotees. If in your mind you're always associating with devotees, if you come to the temple regularly and you take association of the devotees, and you're always thinking of that association, of the instructions received, and the wonderful activities in the temple, the beautiful deities, if you come here often enough that you can absorb your mind 24 hours a day and thinking of the temple in spite of all your other activities, then this is vanangato yad dharim ashrayeta. This is the same as going to the forest and taking shelter of Lord Hari. So do it now before you forget. Before it's too late, before Yamaraj comes and shoots his arrow. before the flesh-eating wolf or tiger comes and destroys your body. So we should understand what is the purpose of this human form of life. What is the purpose of this body? In the 11th canto, actually this, we're reminded of the 11th canto instructions of the Avadhuta Brahman by a verse that Srila Prabhupada quoted in yesterday's purport. 11.9.29, the instructions of the Avadhuta Brahman. Labdva sudurlavamidang bahu sambhavante manushyam artadam anityam apihadhira turnang yateta napatet anamrityuyavan nikshreyasaya vishayak kalusarvatak syat. So in the purport to this verse in the 11th canto, Srila Prabhupada makes a very, very, 11th canto, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada taking the commentaries of the acharyas, they've written as follows. One might argue, among all the gurus mentioned thus far, the material body is certainly the best. Now, if you know the story from the 11th canto, the Avadhuta Brahman, his name is not given, but he was a very saintly Brahman, and he was asked about his guru. And he described so many gurus. He described one by one how he had took instructions from the elements of nature, from things happening around him, from a small girl, from a prostitute, from different animals, from the birds and the trees, how he took instructions about spiritual life from all these different things. So he accepted all these different things as his gurus. So he's gone on and on and described all these different gurus and all the different instructions he's accepted from these gurus. And then he talks about it. Finally, he talks about the material body as his guru. So how is the material body a guru? So this is explained by our acharyas. One might argue, among all the gurus mentioned thus far, the material body is certainly the best, since it awards the detachment and fine intelligence that enable one to engage in the devotional service of the Lord. When one is traveling through the 8,400,000 species of life, so many other lower species of life, one does not have fine intelligence. One cannot discriminate what is spirit and what is matter. One cannot understand what is the purpose of life. One cannot perform devotional service in this, except by chance, in the lower species of life. So if one has a human birth, this is a chance to perform devotional service. So in that sense, this material body is like a guru. This human body is like a guru. Among all the gurus mentioned thus far, the material body is certainly the best, since it awards the detachment and fine intelligence that enable one to engage in the devotional service of the Lord. This is the argument. The argument goes on. Thus, we should serve the body, although it is temporary, with great attachment, or risk the offense of ungratefulness. This is the argument posed by the acharyas. If we don't become attached to this material body and serve it very faithfully, then we're ungrateful. This is the argument. How can detachment from the body be recommended when the body is endowed with so many wonderful qualities? So why should you be detached from this material body? Since it's with this human body you have the chance to perform devotional service, why you should be attached, detached? The answer is given in this verse. The body does not award detachment and knowledge in the manner of some benevolent teacher. Rather, it causes so much pain and misery that any common sense person cannot help being convinced of the uselessness of material life. So actually, this is the human body may be guru for someone with the vision of the Avadhuta Brahman. And the human body is certainly a very wonderful accomplishment. But it is not giving you sense gratification in the mood of helping you. It is just the opposite. It is giving you sense gratification mixed with pain. It is actually the human body is actually it's giving you the opportunity to serve Krishna, but his purpose is to give you pain. And whatever happiness is there is temporary and will be finished, and ultimately one will have to give it up. Very painfully give it up. So that's the kind of guru that this material body is. Just as a tree produces the seeds of the next tree and then dies, the body's lusty desires induce the conditioned soul to create a further chain of karma. Finally, the body, having paved the way for unlimited suffering and material existence, drops dead. So this is the position of the body. It's an opportunity to perform service, but it's also a vehicle for creating many, many, many future bodies and unlimited suffering. So therefore, one must become detached from it. One should serve it only to the degree required to keep body and soul together in order to serve. One should take the good from it and not become bewildered by the attractiveness and thus fall into the pool of death. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur goes on to explain this. He mentions that after understanding this verse, one should merely offer, without attachment, the bare necessities to the guru of one's body. One should keep one's body fit and working in the simplest possible way. And that is the sum and substance of service to this so-called guru of the material body. That is the way to serve the guru of the material body. Keep it fit and working in the simplest possible way. If one desires to faithfully serve the body, one should consider that the body pulls the consciousness of the conditioned soul in many ways at once, and thus for the servant of the body, there is no possibility of understanding God or even of becoming peaceful. So now we understand the body is a guru, and how to serve that guru, maintaining it in the simplest possible way. And then it can help us in our spiritual life, giving us an opportunity to perform devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada goes on then in the purport. So how How to Srila Prabhupada, you can feel the compassion of Srila Prabhupada in this purport. It's talking about the horrors of, the verse is talking about the horrors of material life and how it's finished at any moment. And Srila Prabhupada's, in his deepest compassion, he's thinking what is the solution? And he's thinking on a very broad scale. This civilization, he's looking around him at Kali Yuga civilization, and he's saying, according to Vedic civilization, it is imperative to give up the family at a certain stage by force if necessary. Force can mean disease, can be death, it can be instructions of an authority, it can be the chastisement of the guru. Some or other, one should become detached. Give up family life by force if necessary. The guru may come and say, no. Give up your family life, take sannyas. Time is finished. Do it now. Guru may say like that. Very painful. But it's for the benefit of the conditioned soul. Unfortunately, Prabhupada goes on to say, unfortunately, so-called followers of Vedic life do not give up their family even at the end of life unless they are forced by death. So Prabhupada's looking around at the condition of modern so-called, he's calling it so-called Vedic society, where everyone is practicing their Hindu dharma, so-called Hindu dharma. But they're not giving up family life at the end. They're not going to the forest. They're not going to live in Vrindavan. They're staying amongst their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren. Some or other squeezing out every little bit of happiness, not paying any attention to the warning symptoms. So at the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, there should be a thorough overhauling of the social system. And society should revert to the Vedic principles, that is, the four varnas and four ashramas. Srila Prabhupada is recommending this for the society at large. If someone really wants to help, if a politician really wants to help society at large, they should institute this four varnas and four ashramas system, where one can, and by even someone who's complete, is fully attached, simply by the simply by the mechanics of the social structure, the Vedic social structure of four varnas and four ashramas. If one faithfully follows the system, one cannot but be benefited spiritually. Whereas, if one simply follows the system of modern Kali Yuga Bombay, one simply becomes degraded more and more, and who knows what the destination of the next life will be. So we don't have a wonderful, the Varnashram system no longer exists at large in our society. We don't find it. It's very difficult. So it's very difficult, very easy to become caught up in this materialistic life. So Srila Prabhupada has created this organization, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, for preaching. It's not possible to, in the middle of modern Bombay to implement the full Varnashram system. It's not possible. But in any case, the Varnashram system is not the ultimate goal. It's simply a means. The only hope for modern Bombay is to come immediately to the platform of the holy name, chanting the holy name, serving Krishna directly. Dharmak sunishtatak pung sang vishvak sena katasu yat not pariyat yari ritim shama eva hi kevalam. All this dharma, in any case, Varnashram dharma is very nice because it can gradually uplift one to spiritual life. But one should not accept Varnashram dharma as an end in itself. Because if you accept Varnashram dharma as an end in itself, then you forget, then you miss the whole purpose. You miss the whole goal of life. It's only all that activity, according to the Varnashram system, is simply so much useless labor if it has not brought you to the point of glorifying Krishna, worshipping Krishna. Shrama eva hi kevalam. Three words of emphasis are here. Shrama means useless labor. And then eva, certainly, he, certainly, kevalam, absolutely, no question, simply shrama, simply useless labor. So if one cannot go to the holy dham, if one cannot immediately give up his family affairs, then cultivate this understanding of the Varnashram system. Cultivate this devotional service. Associate with devotees. Chant the holy name. Then you'll be benefited. Eternal benefit will be there. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Prashna? Questions?
Hare Krishna.
Microphone?
Hare Krishna.
Yes, yeah.
Prabhuji.
Speak slowly.
Yeah. So, you're telling body as a guru. So, we also call best use of the bad bargain. So, this is a bad bargain?
Yeah. Well, that's not the point being made in the 11th canto. The point is being made is that the human body is a very good opportunity to perform devotional service, an opportunity that's not there in other life forms. But in other places it's said also that we should make best use of a bad bargain. We're here in the material world, so that's the bad bargain. We're here in the material world. So making best use of it is, okay, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakta prayat. We offer whatever there is here to Krishna. That's making best use of a bad bargain.
But like spiritual body is a good bargain for devotional service. Uh-huh. Spiritual body is a good bargain in the terms of doing devotional service, if you see in that way.
I don't understand the question.
This body, material body, yeah, is a bad bargain. In the terms, if it's a spiritual body, is a good bargain.
Spiritual body is a good bargain
for performing devotional service.
Spiritual body is our right. it's our right. Huh? Yes, our constitutional position. We're spiritual. Yeah. We are spiritual. It's our constitutional position. And having a body to serve Krishna in the spiritual world, that is our right. Not something we bargain for. Something that's there innately as part of our nature. We've just forgotten. Another question here. We'll come back to you if you can remember your next question.
I have one more, if you allow. About Vrindavan, we have our ISKCON temple in Vrindavan. There are many devotees. Is Vrindavan for advanced devotees?
Is what?
Is Vrindavan for advanced devotees?
Vrindavan is advanced devotees. All the devotees of Vrindavan are eternal associates of the Lord. And that applies to Krishna's temples also. Non-different from Vrindavan. We had a question here. I'll come back to you. Okay.
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the scintillating talk on Srimad Bhagavatam. In the second skanda of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a mention of Chatushloki Bhagavatam, four couplets. And in the next chapter, there is a shloka, Atra Sargo Visargashva Sthanam Poshana Mochata. The 10 characteristics of the Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned. The third skanda is Sarga. Fourth skanda is Visarga. And the 10th skanda is Nirodh Lila. Could you please, I humbly request you to explain. Thank you and Hare Krishna.
We'll talk afterwards. This is on the, let's keep this, I'd like to entertain questions on the subject matter of the class. We can discuss later. Okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. You know, in this purport, the last purport and this present purport, family life is being criticized, you see. That Narada Muni directly instructing Prachin Bhari give up the family life. The question is that whether the attainment of pure devotional service or the preparation to qualify, to achieve or accomplish pure devotional service within the family life is possible or not.
Of course. But one should accept family life as service also. Family life is also service. One makes one's home into a temple of the Lord and makes his family members into devotees. And the activities of the family are focused on serving the Lord. It's like a temple. A grihastha is living in a temple. He's living in a temple of his home.
How we can understand that Prahlad Maharaj, this is a very famous sloka from Prahlad Maharaj, Grihamanda Kupam.
One should not be attached. If one becomes attached to it as a place of sense gratification, then it's andakupam. If one is using it as a means for service to Krishna, then it's not andakupam. If one is using it for sense gratification, then it's entangling. Just like you can have the same problem in the brahmacharya ashram. You can be a brahmacharya in the ashram, dedicating your life to serving Radharas Bihari. Or you can be a brahmacharya in the ashram that's looking for prestige, adoration, and distinction. Both things are possible. So then that, in that case, the brahmachari ashram becomes andakupam if one's looking for prestige, adoration, and distinction. But he's specifically speaking to a householder, so he's using particular language. But it applies to anyone who's attached to his bodily situation, whether he's in married or not.
Thank you so much, and we also appreciate your remark on the Varnashrama. You said that it's not possible. It's very apt and significant in present scenario, what's going on in Kali Yuga. But still we are dreaming, you know, to bring Varnashrama, you know, some talks are going on, we want to bring Varnashrama. So we would like to explain it in some details.
Well, the mood of Srila Prabhupada is he wanted Varnashram Dharma accepted by the people at large, by the society at large. Because he saw that not everyone is prepared to perform devotional service, to chant the holy name, to join up, shave up, you know, get a bead bag and neck beads. He saw, not possible. So for those who are not capable of taking up devotional service, then Varnashram is essential. So he wanted, it was part of his mission. He wanted us to encourage the establishment of Varnashram Dharma within society at large. And to do that, a good strategy to do that, at least in some devotees, my opinion, other devotees' opinion, a good way to do that is to set a good example. Whatever Varnashram principles we can institute in our city temples, fine. In the countryside, we can do more. We can do more. We can set a good example. We can also go out in the villages and encourage. You know, there it's very simple for them to take up traditional systems that have been, you know, there's so many tendencies for them to give up their current, give up the traditional practices, and which are based on Varnashram principles, and then take up some other modern, more modern system. We can encourage them to stick to the traditional systems and focus their lives on serving Krishna. Prabhuji had a question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. This is a good discussion about this Varnashram Dharma. Actually, this Varnashram Dharma does not depend upon the conception of this social tradition. It is according the Lord's established religion, Varnashrama Charavatam Purusena Parapaman. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvanyam Maya Srishtam. The principle is that if you follow this religious principle for the satisfaction of the Lord, and for that, first we should have to establish our conception, how we utilize these things. Maybe he may be Grihastha. But Grihastha's means duty to satisfy Lord. How he will satisfy? Then he should follow the Vedic injections. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, that Gruheta Goleka Bhai. Means when that day will come, that I will see my home is like Golaka. So that is the same vision that we think that we will enter in Grihastha Ashram. Then we will make our house like Golok. So how we can establish that conception, a concept in our practical life, that we are going to establish this Varnashram Dharma, especially Brahmachari when he enter into the Grihastha Ashram, how he should be make this harmonity, Acharya's concept and in our practical life? My question.
You want to answer? This is a practical question, right? Practical, actually, how to do it. That's the job for the managers. Prajahari's figuring it out. (Clears throat) So he's trying to get a, planning on getting some farmland here to do some Varnashram preaching. It's not easy. It's a big challenge facing our society, how to institute, how to actually demonstrate Varnashram Dharma. We have to keep very strict on the principles of devotional service. And Krishna will help us how to preach. Establishing Varnashram, helping to establish Varnashram Dharma is just another part of our preaching mission. If gradually people will chant Hare Krishna and serve the Lord, and those who are not able to serve on a full-time basis, in the then they can take up, they can become part of our communities, our Varnashram community.
Our society emphasis on Daiva Varnashram. So that Daiva Varnashram, that is the Acharya's concept, not according to Shastric injection or Veda Shastra, that following ritual activities. So Daiva Varnashram, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, most of the associates, they are Grihastha. So similarly, we reject that we should have to give up this Grihastha Ashram and we will take renunciation. The same time, Acharya also says, Gruhe Thaka, Bane Thaka, Sada Hari Bale Dako. So where is that principle and this principle? That which means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, they are elevated and they are Grihastha. Same time. But same time we will also stress on we should give up this grihastha life and we should go to Vrindavan and do Hari Bhajan.
I'm sorry, I'm not able to grasp the point.
This contradictory principles. We say that we should have to give up this grihastha ashramas. Right? And similarly, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu...
Narada is instructing King Prachini Barhisha because he's attached to his ritualistic ceremonies. So Narada is instructing him. And the same instruction is there for anyone else who's attached to family life. But if someone's a grihastha, we're not telling them to give up family life. Someone's actually, you know, performing grihastha life making his home into a temple and serving the Lord with his family members, we're not telling him to give it up and go to Vrindavan. That's not our instruction.
But same time we encourage those people that you take sannyas and fritz. So that is not exemplary to stay in house and fritz.
Sannyas?
Yes.
The sannyas that we encourage devotees to take is not karma sannyas. It's not sannyas to give up family life. No, it's sannyas because our sannyas is a trick to get people to accept spiritual instruction because they won't listen to someone unless they're wearing saffron and they're carrying a danda and worship by, you know, everyone falling down and paying obeisance to them. Then we put them on a pedestal and, oh, he's a very important person. Let me listen to what he has to say. That is our sannyas. That is the sannyas we're encouraging in ISKCON. We're not encouraging, you know, grihasthas who are, you know, well situated and you know in grihastha ashram to take sannyas and go to Vrindavan. That's not our mission. Our mission is to preach. And sannyas is necessary for preaching in this day and age.
Prabhu, Hare Krishna. I understand that even if the devotee thinks that he is a brahmachari, grahastha, or a vanaprastha, or sannyasi, he cannot go back to Godhead. So what is the use of
giving up their family life or renouncing and all that. Don't you think mental renunciation is more important than physical renunciation?
Yes. Yes. Unconditional yes.
Kamyanam karmanam nyasam sanyasam kabayo viduhu. If someone had renounced his desire, kamyanam karmanam, he is not sannyas really.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. That is the right reason.
Hare Krishna. In purport there is a mention, is a family life is a deep dark well. So how we can understand the family life as a deep dark well? Because 99.9% people are following the path of Grihastha Ashram. And you are saying they are very happy.
They're very?
We are also saying practically or physically or maybe mentally, they are happy. They are enjoying in family life. But people in general, they don't know this instruction, the family life is a deep dark well. So how we can also instruct them? You are not enjoying actually, you are suffering. But we are also, we have also no realization that family life is a deep dark well. Most of brahmachari also...
We should go out and preach. We should be very active in preaching. Is everyone going to be very active in going out and preaching today? Or is everyone going to be sitting around feeling sorry for themselves that they're not taking prasadam? Should go out and preach, save the world.
My question is, you know this family life is a deep dark well, but most of brahmachari also, they are planning to become a householder. Even a great...
Let them do it.
So why they are falling in the deep dark well? They know the family life is a...
Krishna, and the deep dark well is there for Prachina Barhisha, but it's not for our devotees, it's not a deep dark well.
That means there is a two category, Grihastha and Grihamedhi.
Grihamedhi.
For Grihamedhi, that is a deep dark well.
Yes. Grihastha is not a deep dark well. Thank you for clarifying that point. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.